Well, today we have a passage from St. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 30. This is the second prediction of the Lord's death that he gives his apostles. He had already told them that the Son of Man would be killed, but that he would rise from the dead. Today, again, the Lord is walking with his disciples through Galilee. They're up in the northern part of the area of the Holy Land. The Lord was spending time with his disciples, teaching them, instructing them, preparing them for his upcoming death and passion and sufferings, as well as his resurrection. So today again, he reveals on a second occasion that the Son of Man is to be handed over to men and they will kill him. And the Lord always referred to himself as the Son of Man, this title from the prophet Daniel, referring to the Messiah, the suffering servant, referring to the one who would redeem the people of Israel and also, of course, redeem the world. So here we have that the fact that he would be betrayed, that he would be handed over. So now we have an insight that the Lord would be betrayed or handed over by one of his own disciples, and that the Lord would be killed. But then on the third day, it says he will rise from the dead. So again, the Lord is very knowledgeable. He knows what's going to happen to him in his upcoming passion and death, and that he even revealed his resurrection to the disciples. But then St. Mark tells us, but they did not understand what he was saying. They were afraid to question him. So you think that they would, you know, sort of comprehend this, but they were so sort of fixated on this political Messiah, this earthly king that was going to, you know, get rid of the Romans and usher in an era of peace for Israel. And so on the way, as they kept walking to Capernaum, which was really the Lord's main base for the last 3 years of his life, and they went into the house. It doesn't say which house it was. Most likely it was St. Peter's house, because that's where really where the Lord always used that as a home base, which was Peter's house. And when they got inside the house, the Lord says, what were you arguing about on the way? The Lord obviously knew that there was a heated discussion going on behind him as they were journeying to Capernaum. Well, it says they remained silent. They were embarrassed. They didn't want to say, because notice what they were not talking about. They were not talking about the Lord's upcoming death and his betrayal. They weren't talking about his resurrection. They were talking about who among the 12 apostles was the greatest one. Which one was the greatest? Maybe Peter said, I'm the greatest because he changed my name from Simon to Peter, and said, I'm the rock upon which he will build his church. Or maybe Andrew said that he was the greatest because he was the first one that Jesus called. Or maybe John said, no, I'm the one that's called the beloved disciple. He loves me best. I'm the greatest. On and on. And so they were embarrassed. They remained silent. And so the St. Mark tells us they were discussing among themselves who was the greatest. So the Lord uses this as a teaching moment. He sits down in the chair, which is how the rabbis would teach from their chair of authority. Just as we have the cathedral. The cathedral is the chair where the bishop teaches from in a cathedral. Or we just had the feast day of the chair of St. Peter last week, the authority, the seat of authority. So the Lord sits down and uses this as a teaching moment. He gathers the 12, and then he gives them a lesson about greatness. And basically what he says, if you want to be great, you become a servant. If you want to be first, you have to become last. And if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, become the servant of everyone. And what a great message this is. That's why the popes have always called themselves the servant of the servants of God. And some of the best advice that has been given to priests when they're ordained is, wherever you go, go as a servant. That's your job, to be a servant of the people, to hear the confessions, to baptize the babies, to visit the sick, to serve your people. That's what every priest is called to do. Every bishop, every pope is a servant. And of course, the same thing with moms and dads. If you want to be a great mom, a great dad, a great son, a great daughter, become a servant mom, a servant dad, a servant child, become a servant to all. And we see that to become the best servant is a great vocation, to be a servant, to serve your community, your parish, your family, is one of the greatest blessings. And so then the Lord concludes by taking a child and placing it in their midst. Who was this child? The tradition that this child grew up to become Saint Ignatius of Antioch, one of the great bishops of the church. That's just a tradition that was passed on, because based upon his age at that time and how old he was when he died, there is always that sort of legend or speculation. But it could be any child, of course. And this child, in the word child in Aramaic, is the same word for servant. And so the Lord is using sort of a play on words, a servant and a child. So he takes this child and places it in their midst. He puts his arms around the child. And he says, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me, the Heavenly Father. And so what we have here is the Lord using the child as a symbol of innocence, a symbol of humility, a symbol of trusting in the Lord. And that's the kind of qualities he wants his disciples to have. Humility, littleness, being a good child of God, showing trustful surrender to Almighty God, all the qualities of a child: innocence, humility, trust. And he says, those are the qualities that I want my followers to have.